Hello and welcome to the Rails Envy Podcast. I'm Jason Seifer.
And I'm Greg Pollock.
And this is episode 79, May 20th, 2009.
The Rails Envy Podcast is sponsored this week by Mocra. Do you want to rejuvenate your legacy Rails application? Call Mocra as your first choice team, led by Dr. Nick. Mocra loves code, loves users, and they want to help you. Mention this advertisement to qualify for their largest discount consulting rate immediately. Check them out at mocra.com.
Werner Schuster posted a nice Ruby VM roundup this week on InfoQ.
You mean Infoq?
Right. Infoq. Sorry.
So anyway, what's been going on up in this VM space lately?
Up in your VM space?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like JRuby 1.3 will soon be released, which contains Nailgun integration.
Sweet.
Nailgun apparently is a client protocol and server for running Java programs from the command line without incurring the JVM startup overhead.
Oh, I thought it was just a protocol for getting you arrested in Home Depot when you play with them too much.
Oh, yeah. When I first saw it, I thought it was like a Quake reference myself.
So, the time it takes for the JVM to start up is definitely one of the suckier parts using Java. There's going to be a way around that now?
Yeah. Basically, you run a Nailgun server, which starts up the JVM. Then, when you run any Java programs, they get sent to the Nailgun server, which runs them. So, all your applications run in the same JVM, which is only started up once.
Oh, so that's sort of similar to like spec server with RSpec.
Right, right.
That's cool.
Also in VM news, Ruby 1.9.1 patch 129 has been released, which fixes a few bugs and two security vulnerabilities, so you may want to upgrade if you're running 1.9.1. Finally, Maglev is still going strong.
And by going strong, you mean still vaporware.
And might have a public beta after Q2 and hopefully release the Maglev source on GitHub.
Nice. Can't wait for Maglev. Ruby that scales. I heard it's going to be released concurrently with Duke Nukem Forever.
That's awful. Now that's like the bad joke. You know, never going to get released.
So last week we talked about the differences between XMPP,
a protocol for instant messaging,
and AMQP,
a protocol for robots who want to do instant messaging using binary.
Robots, you mean like... like giant robots?
Well, how else are they going to schedule when to do the smashing?
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Obviously. Anyway, we mentioned on the podcast for XMPP, you might use XMPP for R. But Julian left us a comment on our blog telling us that people shouldn't be using XMPP for R since... wait for it. It can't scale.
So what would be the alternative here?
Well, you might want to check out Blather by Jeff Smick. Blather gives you a nice readable DSL for using XMPP, and it uses Event Machine and libxml to keep things very fast.
On the same subject, if you're thinking about giving AMQP a try, I found a great tutorial this week by Matt Todd, which walks you through how to install Erlang, RabbitMQ, and shows you how to use Amangupta's AMQP library.
Matt Todd. That guy has two first names. This Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, O'Reilly's putting on a free webcast where Yehuda Katz is going to be talking about what to expect in Rails 3.0. If you have time Friday and you're curious about Rails 3.0, I'm sure it will be quite educational.
And if you can't make it, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people taking notes. Oh.
You'll need to register ahead of time on O'Reilly's site, so check out the link in the show notes.
Let's try that with the harmony.
Okay. I'm going to go low. Okay. All right. You'll need to register ahead of time on O'Reilly's site, so check out the link
in the show notes.
So find the link in the show notes.
Oh, that was awful. At RailsConf 2 weeks ago, Blythe Dunham unveiled her new engine plugin called SMS on Rails, which provides your Rails app with instant SMS integration.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're not talking about hooking up a cell phone to your server to do instant SMS messaging, right? That just wouldn't scale.
All right.
It's preposterous.
SMS on Rails allows you to send and store SMS messages using an email gateway or using the Clickatell service.
Oh, Clickatell. Clickatell.
Clickatell?
Clickatell. What is that again?
It's just a paid web service that will send out SMS messages to any number on any network, and it's only 3 cents per text.
Hey, that's not bad.
No.
If you ever need to implement iCal integration with your web applications, you may want to take a look at Rick DiNatale's RiCalGem. Ri_Cal. R-I_Cal. Jam. This week, he also did a great interview with InFock talking about the Jam.
Aren't there already gems out there for doing iCal integration?
Yeah, but apparently none of them dealt with doing recurring events. Rix does, okay. And it even comes with a DSL for defining events.
Interesting. And how might you use that?
Well, I would guess you'd use it just like an XML builder. So you could have a view in your application which contained the RICAL DSL, and it would generate the proper RICAL format.
Oh, that makes sense. Today I found the Ruby Game Library by John Croissant.
Tasty.
Which provides an interface between SDL, that simple direct media layer, and Ruby, so that you can do graphics and sound in Ruby, and ultimately build games.
That can't scale. Hasn't that been out for a while now?
Yeah, the Ruby game library's been out for a few years now, but it's still getting updates, new releases, and I don't think we ever talked about it on the podcast. So, if you want to build games in Ruby, check it out.
I will. If you need to allow your clients to run your Ruby applications on their local Windows desktops, you know, by like clicking on an exe file.
Ooh, old school.
Yeah. Then you might want to check out a new library called OneClick Ruby Application, or OCRA, created by Lars Christensen.
So what exactly is in this exe which gets created by OCRA?
Basically, it's a virus that makes the Windows computer part of a botnet. No. The exe is actually a self-extracting, self-running executable that contains the Ruby interpreter, your source code, and any additionally needed Ruby libraries or DLLs. Pretty much everything you need.
Oh, cool. You know how back in the day, everyone used Attachment Foo for doing image attachments?
Yes, I remember those good old days. It's actually still going strong.
Yeah, and then Paperclip came out, which was a much more simplified solution, and now that's more often used, right?
I think they're about neck and neck.
Well, this week I found what could be the same sort of thing, but for background processing. It's called JobFoo by John Stenquist.
Ooh, I think we missed the Foo plugin music and the gong.
Oh, dude, yeah, let's bring that back.
Okay. much better. Now that can only mean one thing, right?
Ooh, a new Foo plugin.
And what is it this week?
This week it's JobFoo! JobFoo is a simple asynchronous processing solution you might use to put off tasks to a later time, such as, you know, generating and sending emails or other long-running tasks.
The music makes it a lot more interesting. Question though, are the background workers called Cobra Kai workers?
Oh, look at you, you're all better.
That's right, Brian, and you are toast. I'm gonna get in the gym, get my lats back, and then me and my friends from Cobra Kai are gonna take you down, man!
When we typically run other people's libraries, we usually either get it by running gem install or doing a git clone, or, SVN, whatever.
Right.
But if we needed to require a library or an application which was remote, maybe hosted on a... was I slurring?
You're slurring.
Oh, man. You should stop drinking at 10 a.m. But what if we needed to require a library in our application which was remote? Maybe hosted on a server 100 miles away.
Well, maybe then we'd write a script so that it downloads the Ruby library every time before we run the script?
Sure. Or we could use HTTP require gem by Vitaly Kushner, which would allow us to use an HTTP address inside of our require statement.
Wait a second. You're saying that inside your Ruby script, where you normally put require foo, we might put require www.whatever.com/foo?
Yep.
Oh, that sounds really insecure, isn't it?
No less secure than blindly downloading the file every time and then running it.
Well, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Admittedly, it wouldn't be secure if you were pulling source code from, you know, a third party or 4chan. But if this was all your code, then I don't see anything wrong with it.
Oh, that's interesting.
This is a real edge case.
Yeah.
I can't actually ever see using this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you had a bunch of people working on different Ruby libraries and for some reason you wanted to pull it across the network every time you run it, I don't know.
I mean, if I did that, I think I would use Git.
Like, yeah.
Put that in source control.
That would make sense. But, you know, lots of edge cases.
But great work, Vitaly.
The Rails Magazine issue number 2 is out, which you can download for free online or buy a print edition for just $3. This new issue has in-depth commentary on RailsConf 2009, so if you weren't able to make it to the conference, you definitely might want to take a read when you get a chance.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have a print version of this sort of stuff, especially if you're traveling, you know, for takeoff and landing.
This week, Noel Rappin posted about Rails testing frequently asked questions, and I thought it might be fun to go over the questions and give your own answers. Then you can always go and read Noel's answers later.
Okay.
So first up, what test tool should I use? Should I use RSpec?
Yeah, sure. Use RSpec. But not if you're developing against Rails Edge, because then you're in for a world of hurt.
Oh, yeah. But you know, I think for people who are starting out, maybe not necessarily have to jump all the way to RSpec. Why not just use what's right out of the box and sort of get used to that before you build anything on top of it?
I think you're just playing devil's advocate because you use RSpec also.
But I don't. I should have. Shut up.
Should have works with RSpec.
Question number two. I have an entire app with no tests. What should I do now?
Deploy.
Often.
Yeah. Deploy early, deploy often. I would actually, in that case, recommend doing rm-rf on the test directory, just so you don't even feel inclined to write them in the future.
Maybe put all your files in a remote server and then require them remotely using HTTP require.
No, if you don't have any tests, what you should do is don't go back. If you can't justify the time, don't go back and write tests for the whole app. Ideally, that's what you should do. But if you can't and you need to write a new feature, just start testing the features as they are now, and then add on slowly.
Yeah. A bug comes in, write a test that fails, and then fix it. Next up, why should I test? Won't I still need human testers?
Well, testing catches a ton of bugs. I can't tell you the number of bugs that I've caught from writing tests first or even testing later.
Yeah, totally. But you still do need human testers. You're not going to catch everything through your tests.
Yeah, that's true. I've actually seen statistics that have been made up that say unit testing only catches 50% of bugs.
Right. And you got to believe those made up statistics.
But I saw them on the internet.
Oh, then they got to be true.
Yeah.
Next up, when should I test?
All the f***ing time.
Is there such a thing as too much testing?
Yes, there is.
I think definitely there is.
I'll give you an example of too much testing. Let's say you're using Cucumber and doing separate controller tests. Mm-hmm. You can get into a spot where you're double testing things in your controller tests and in Cucumber. So,
that makes a lot of sense.
You kind of got to walk the line between having a lot of mocks and stubs and over-testing.
And, you know, RSpec, when it first came out, really stressed, you know, testing everything in isolation, testing your models, controllers, and views in isolation. And what we found in our projects, and obviously, you know, everyone needs to figure out what works for them, but what we found is that we can get away with just doing model tests, or basically unit tests, and integration tests. And if we have controllers that get too lengthy, that, you know, fat controllers, then odds are we need to take that logic into a model, figure out a way to unit test that.
Yeah, totally agree. It's only been some really rare edge cases that we found where you actually need controller tests.
Lastly, I don't know what to test. How do I start?
Test everything all the time. I think the way to start testing would be to read the Rails guide on testing.
Oh, okay.
And possibly Noel Rappin's testing prescriptions PDF.
Yeah, it's just a $9 PDF book. In my opinion, it's really underrated. I want more people to know about it because it's a great PDF for getting started with test-driven development with Rails.
If you're looking for scalable deployment options with Rails, keep looking. If you're looking for scalable deployment options with Rails, you may want to take a look at a new project which evolved from the JBoss Rails project called TorqueBox. TorqueBox can be used to run your Rails app on JRuby using the JBoss as Java application.
I think that's AS.
Oh, using the JBoss AS Java application server, which gives you clustering and cloud deployment right out of the box. In addition to scalability, TorqueBox comes with a job scheduler, task queues, a SOAP layer if you need it, and SIP drivers if you need them.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I mean, it's interesting that it's sort of like a whole package for deploying your Rails app using JRuby. It's kind of interesting. I'd really like to see some benchmarks using it.
Yeah, me too. Over on the Time to Bleed blog, Joe D'Amato's been doing some crazy work with Ruby 1.8.
Yeah, I mean, everything that comes out of Joe's blog and his work is amazing. He figures out how to speed everything up.
Yeah, so up from him recently, and everybody, like, we're not going to go into it here because it's really, really in-depth and really technical, and I don't really feel like reading memory address codes to everybody. He's got a few articles up. One is on fixing threads in Ruby 1.8, where you can get a 2 to 10 time performance boost.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Another one where he fixed a bug in Ruby's configure.in. Greg's laughing because of the picture on the blog post, which I'll just leave you guys to check out. I don't know what that is, but it's vaguely erotic.
I don't know what it is, but I want to hump it.
Anyway, you can fix a bug in Ruby's configure.in and get about a 30% performance boost when using threads. And the last one, yeah. with a 6-line event machine bug fix, you get 2 times faster garbage collection and an increase of about 1,300 requests a second when using Sinatra, Fin, and ePoll server.
Wow.
Yeah, so definitely some crazy stuff to check out, especially if you're into these like really in-depth optimization blog posts, because he really does go in-depth. Mm-hmm. Also, Dan Croak of ThoughtBot fame.
Hey, what was their blog again?
You know, it's the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots blog.
Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots.
He's recently released / updated his Twitter search client, which lets you access the Twitter search API from your Ruby code. Gives you a nice DSL for doing that.
Oh, this must have come out of their new product that they just released called Thunder Thimble, which allows you to monitor and manage mentions of your product, services, and brands in social media. But I think for right now, it's just Twitter.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Also of note on the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots blog.
Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots.
They have 10 reasons that you should be listening to the Rails Envy podcast.
Oh, well, I know it's sort of like self-promotion, but should we just read through the list just for fun?
No, I think we should just give them a little taste of it, which is that Greg and Jason are 7 feet tall.
Oh, of course we are.
Yeah. No, it was part of a bet. We'll put the link in the show notes and you guys could check it out. Definitely read it because, well, hey, we're awesome.
It sounded so egotistical.
I know. Just doing my impression of Giles. Oh, wait, oh. No. My balls are egotistical. Everybody needs to listen to me. Okay, sorry. Anyway, on that note, the Rails Envy podcast is sponsored this week by New Relic. RPM helps you diagnose and check out problems in your Rails app from the start.
The new version of RPM comes free with AppDeck support, which allows you to set a target response time for your application to make sure, well, that it's serving fast requests to your customers.
They also have capacity analysis and custom dashboards, and I've actually been using these, and they're awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening to the Rails Envy podcast, and make sure to tune in every Wednesday for the latest news in the Ruby and Rails worlds.